Hello, this is David Duke, and today I'm going to speak on the real agenda of the SPLC, the Southern Poverty Law Center, and the ADL, the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith. My two main opponents on the Internet are two Jewish supremacists, Abraham Foxman of the ADL, the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith, and Mark Potuk, head of media for the SPLC, Southern Poverty Law Center. Hardly a day passes without some sort of an attack on me from one of these two men or their organizations. Thank goodness for the Internet. When presented with such attacks, you now have the ability to easily and quickly get both sides of every controversy. Ideas and facts can be presented without censorship, and people can decide for themselves which point of view makes more sense. That's why Foxman and Potuk are trying to filter and control free speech on the Internet. They even seek laws to completely suppress freedom of speech on these issues. They are afraid of open debate. I would argue that only those who know that they have a weak case are really afraid of free speech. If your case is strong, you will want public debate and attention on issues you believe are important. If you tell lies, you don't want to face cross-examination. You don't want your victim to tell his side of the story. The liar needs to suppress facts and distort information. Of course, the ADL and the SPLC say that I am the liar. Well, maybe that's so, and maybe not. But the only way for you to find out who is really lying is to read both sides, to think for yourself, and judge for yourself. Thankfully, it's very easy to expose the real liars in the controversy between these Jewish supremacist-led groups and me. It's in black and white, as plain as the letters on the page you're reading from. They portray me as advocating certain nefarious things. However, you can read for yourself in the millions of words I have written and see what I really do advocate. And you can clearly see that what I write and say is very different from what they say that I say. You can also see if what I've written was done in a spirit of hatred or if it was done conscientiously. It is true that I've often expressed anger over what I see as injustice. People who are passionate about their beliefs naturally do that, but I know that I don't advocate or express hatred. I have a respect for all peoples and their heritages, including my own. Of course, that's my problem. The fact that I'm a non-Jewish European American who dares to defend the rights and heritage of my own people is an unpardonable sin in a new orthodoxy. And the same thing is true for all peoples who defend themselves from Jewish supremacism, such as the Palestinians. The ironic thing is that at least I'm consistent while they are hypocrites. I accept the fact that every group has the elemental right to endeavor to preserve itself and defend its rights. My opponents, however, defend and advance the interests of their own heritage while condemning me for defending my own. But you see, thanks to the Internet and what's left of freedom of speech, it's very easy to expose their hypocrisy. It just takes a little reading and a little thinking. Let me give you some examples. The ADL and the SPLC condemn European American organizations that want to secure our borders from massive non-European immigration. But they do not condemn any of the extremely powerful American Jewish organizations that support Israel's policy of preserving Israel as a Jewish state dedicated exclusively to the Jewish people. A state that has the strictest policies that limit immigration to Israel almost wholly to those of Jewish descent. And they even deny Palestinians the right to return to the place of their birth. The ADL and SPLC condemn European American organizations that oppose religious or racial intermarriage, but they do not condemn any of the powerful Jewish organizations that diligently work against intermarriage of the Jewish people. In fact, in Israel, intermarriage of a Jew and non-Jew is illegal. It is not recognized by the government as a legal marriage. Yet these same organizations vigorously condemn the old anti-intermarriage laws in American states of the past. The ADL and SPLC condemn any European American activists and label as supremacists those of us who simply want to preserve our own heritage and rights. But there is no condemnation of Jewish supremacists and Jewish supremacist publications such as Jewish Week, which is the largest Jewish publication in the United States, a publication that features columns that blatantly proclaim the superiority of Jews over Gentiles and sometimes even claim that all Gentiles are inherently evil. The ADL and SPLC condemn as racists and supremacists any European American who simply wants an end to the extensive racial discrimination called affirmative action. But there is no condemnation by these Jewish supremacists of massive institutionalized racial discrimination against European Americans in scholarships, college admissions, jobs, promotions, and contracting. There's no huge outcry over the pervasive discrimination against white people. The ADL and SPLC condemn as racist any European Americans who prefer to live and to go to school among our own people. They have vigorously condemned all nations who have had such policies, such as the former apartheid South Africa. But these groups do not condemn Israel, which is almost completely segregated in settlements, schools, and housing. There is not a peep of condemnation against the American government for sending huge amounts of our tax money to support the Jewish apartheid state. On the contrary, the ADL, for instance, is openly dedicated to defending and supporting Israel, an apartheid state of strict segregation in almost all aspects of life. So what is the explanation for these obvious hypocrisies? I would think a logical self-explanatory reason for these hypocrisies is that these organizations are themselves led and influenced by self-serving Jewish supremacists who have completely hypocritical policies for European Americans and for Jews. They see the weakening of the European American as strengthening of their own people. And indeed, as we've grown weaker and become more susceptible to Jewish media power and government influence, they have grown much stronger. That awesome power even led us blindly into this Zionist-orchestrated Iraq war and all its terrible consequences for America, which will be evident over the next few years. Let me show you some specific lies and omissions told by the SPLC in their recent letter, publication, and internet site. I'm not afraid to let you read those attacks on me, and I encourage you to go to their website at splc.com and read everything they have to say about me. All I ask is that you read my side too. Here are some excerpts from those sources. I draw these excerpts from the recent SPLC letter and newspaper sent to their main contributors. Quote, New Orleans. Over the Memorial Day weekend, leaders of major hate groups from three countries gathered here and established a dangerous new alliance. Overlooked by the mainstream media, they signed on to an historic plan to work in concert to more effectively infect society with their neo-Nazi white supremacist beliefs. The agreement to band together in promoting their hate agenda was reached in an assembly of more than 300 white supremacists. They came together on May 29 to celebrate the recent return of David Duke, one of the most notorious leaders of America's hate movement, who was released from federal prison last month after serving time for fraud. The New Orleans Protocol, written by Duke, is a pledge by groups to work together to support the hate movement. It requires groups to aim their hate at their real targets, not at each other, and to advance in unity their vision, a nation for white people. Duke, always a master at mainstreaming hate, has an alarming, simple premise. To be more effective at infecting our society with hate, fear, and racism, Duke and his neo-Nazi white supremacist friends have to do two things. First, they have to aim their hate and resentment at their real targets and not one another. And second, they have to disguise their intentions as they infiltrate the fabric of our society. Here are just a couple of Duke's win-them-over-with-kindness strategies. He's advising his hate-filled followers to volunteer as little league coaches where they can gain access to impressionable children. And he suggests they join organizations like the Red Cross to gain legitimacy for their sickening ideas. Duke's sudden reemergence on the white supremacist scene is a troubling development. That's why I'm writing you today to enlist your support in an effort to expose and counter Duke's new scheme. During the meeting, Duke singled out Jews as the source of the world's problems. While there is also much hostility toward minorities, most of the conference participants' ire was directed at what they consider to be a worldwide Jewish conspiracy to destroy the white race through immigration and miscegenation. Duke's Jewish Supremacism, an excerpt of his autobiography, My Awakening, reportedly has sold more than 580,000 copies worldwide and is about to be translated into Arabic. It's also available on his website. Duke has a successful record. Duke has a surprisingly successful track record, and his influence should not be underestimated. In 1989, he won a seat in Louisiana legislature. Duke has a unique ability among neo-Nazi leaders to galvanize people. He once won a seat in Louisiana legislature. He later ran in the Republican primary for the U.S. Senate. Although he lost, he won more than 600,000 votes, almost 60% of the white vote. In the early 1990s, the annual Duke Fest, offering free barbecue and music for Duke supporters, drew more than 10,000 people each year. Duke camouflaged his racism and won votes from disenchanted whites who would have been repelled by Nazi or Klan regalia, but who failed to recognize Duke's disguised extremism. Recently, Duke played a pivotal role in the gubernatorial election in Louisiana. His operatives called 100,000 of his supporters and asked them not to vote for Bobby Jindal, an Indian continent American candidate. Jindal was defeated. At the New Orleans meeting, Duke called on hate group leaders to put aside their differences and adopt his tactics. Among those signing the protocol at the meeting were Duke, former Klansman and now leader of the European American Unity and Rights Organization, Don Black, former Klan leader and creator of Stormfront, the Internet's first and most influential hate website, Willis Cardo, a primary architect of Holocaust denial movement, Kevin Strom and David Pringle of the Neo-Nazi National Alliance, the organization whose founder inspired the Oklahoma City bombing, Paul Fromm, head of the Canadian Association for Free Expression, a vehemently anti-immigrant organization, Attorney Sam Dixon of the White Supremacist Council of Conservative Citizens, and John Tyndall, founder of the racist British National Party. Two of Duke's political campaign managers gave the audience a long list of how-to tips for those entering electoral politics. Advice included such details as how to run phone banks and how to talk to voters. One of the signers of the protocol said, quote, "The New Orleans Protocol will have historic significance as we advance toward our vision, a nation for white people, where the government is responsible to us alone, where our interests and not the interests of a foreign nation like Israel come first." Unquote. Now, there are many inaccuracies, omissions, and distortions in these excerpts. Notice first how the word hate is used 12 times and Nazi 6 times. These Jewish supremacists are, of course, the quickest ones to condemn right-wingers for casually labeling people as communists, but these slanderers have no compunction to label us as haters and Nazis because we simply dare to disagree with them. Calling someone a hater is nothing more than a schoolyard tactic It's really the modern equivalent of calling someone a blasphemer or heretic in the Middle Ages. You can listen to the complete tapes of the conference on my internet site, davidduke.com. You can hear for yourself the over 30 hours of speeches, and you can get the DVDs or VHS tapes and see the conference speeches for yourself. You will find that not one person speaking advocated hatred, Nazism, or racial supremacy. Let me repeat that. Not one speaker advocated white supremacy. No speaker supported European Americans being supreme or ruling over others, but simply expressed the desire to preserve our heritage and culture in our own homelands. For instance, all the speakers oppose American involvement in the Iraq War and the involvement we have across the world in the so-called globalism that we are invoking in the American lexicon. For instance, we don't seek to control the media of other nations, but we naturally expect our own nation's media to reflect our own heritage and values and to be truly free. As you can see by my articles on the media on my website and in my book Jewish Supremacism, I show quite clearly how Jewish supremacists are the ones who really want supremacy over other peoples. They not only want to control the media in Israel, but to control it in all Western nations as well. And in fact, they have a supremacy over much of Western media today. They not only want to dictate the oppressive and criminal policies of the Israeli government in Israel, but they want to control foreign governments so that they support Israel's criminal policies. And they seek laws to deny us freedom of speech, even the right for us to criticize their supremacism. In Canada recently, Jewish leaders were able to get the Canadian government to ban, seize, and burn my books. Now, notice how these book burners and the SPLC attack the New Orleans Protocol while carefully concealing the actual words of the protocol from their readers. They conceal the full protocol because the protocol itself refutes their image of us that they try to portray. The New Orleans Protocol has three fundamental points. Number one, zero tolerance for movement-destroying violence and suggested violence. Number two, keeping a high moral tone in everything we write and say, a complete rejection of crude or hateful speech. And three, cooperation and goodwill between European American organizations who take this high road. By what the SPLC constantly writes, you would think that they would welcome European American organizations coming together and rejecting self-destructive violence. Not only did the protocol condemn that kind of activity, conference speakers repeatedly showed how such violence is completely counterproductive and harmful to our principles and the political success of our program. Notice how the SPLC, in talking about the New Orleans Protocol, completely left out this very important part of the protocol. They don't want you to know that our leaders have condemned any sort of violence or violent rhetoric. They made sure you didn't know about this. The SPLC also says that I represent hate and I'm trying to disguise our real intention. Well, this protocol was written for our organizations and leaders, not the public, and it makes clear our stand against hateful rhetoric in our movement. It shows that our movement must maintain a high moral tone and echo the traditional decency and values of our European civilization. It holds that our leaders and activists must never allow the Hollywood image of the intolerant, hateful person to be present in our ranks. Instead of saying this is a good development, that I and other leaders came together and condemned violence and hateful and crude rhetoric, they condemn us for, quote, mainstreaming hate. The ugly truth is that the SPLC wants us to be violent and hateful. This is because they know we won't get anywhere that way. And they won't be able to raise nearly as much money. Even though they say they are against hate speech and violence, the SPLC raises millions by promoting the idea of an imminent threat from the right. A nonviolent, high-toned movement is exactly what they don't want. There are many other distortions and lies in the SPLC letters and newspaper. One of the most blatant and ridiculous is that conference leaders promoted the idea that we should coach little league teams so we could influence young and impressionable minds. Give me a break. Nothing of the kind was said at the conference. During the political talks of Howie Farrell and Kenny Knight, they talked about how successful candidates need to show responsibility to their communities and that it's good for potential candidates to be active in community organizations and charities. Such would be said at any candidate school of the Democratic or Republican Party. Nothing was said about affecting the impressionable young minds of little leaguers. Again, you can listen to the tapes yourself and hear exactly what was said. By the way, I also said that people in the movement have a tendency to withdraw from mainstream community or church organizations when contrary views are expressed. I said it's important that our people remain in those groups and be a voice for what is right. For instance, if someone in Sunday school starts to repeat the lie that a good Christian should support Israel, then it is his responsibility to show that, in effect, a good Christian has a moral obligation to oppose the anti-Christian criminal actions of Israel. In another example, if someone is involved in an organization opposing the Iraq War, it is important that he helps dispel the common misconception that the war was fought over oil or for any true American interests. For the truth is that the war was terribly damaging to our American interests, including our need for oil. The price of oil, for instance, is now at all-time highs, something I predicted before the war. And there has been real damage and horrendous cost to America in lives, money, business, and goodwill. The war was not about American imperialism. It was and is about Israel using us to smash one of their biggest enemies, Saddam Hussein. And they cared not for the terrible consequences for America. In fact, they are happy that much hatred of the Muslim world is now deflected somewhat from Israel toward the United States. The chief architects of the American war policy were, of course, Richard Perle and Paul Wolfowitz, two radical Jewish supremacists who were supporters of the most extreme supremacist movements in Israel. You see, I've just expressed my real opinions, and now you might understand why Mark Potok of the SPLC and Abraham Foxman of EADL hate me so much. If they are sincere about fighting racism and supremacism, let them answer these questions. When is Mr. Potok of the SPLC or Mr. Foxman of the ADL going to come out and oppose apartheid Israel and the American Jewish organizations that support it? When are they going to expose and condemn the blatant Jewish supremacism and anti-Gentile hatred in the largest American Jewish newspaper, Jewish Week? When are they going to condemn the American Jewish Committee and the thousands of other Jewish organizations that oppose intermarriage of Jews and non-Jews? There is nothing sinister about our people advancing our own political and social opinions. But the SPLC is very afraid of the groups who signed the New Orleans Protocol because we expose their hypocritical Jewish supremacist agenda. The truth is, they're not worried about me because I'm violent. They worry about me because I am not. They don't worry about me because I am hateful. They worry about me because I express myself intelligently and decently. They worry about me simply because I expose their own subservience to the Jewish supremacist agenda and because I expose their blatant hypocrisy. The only way they can effectively attack me is to call me names such as hater, bigot, Nazi, etc., and distort and lie about what I say. But thank God, you've been able, through the power of the Internet, to hear the other side of this vital story. And I thank you for being open-minded enough to have listened to my point of view. Please don't stop now. Keep using the Internet to find the facts that people like Potok and Foxman want to keep from you. Keep using the Internet to discover the lies fed to us by the supremacists who deceptively and deliberately acquired control over our vital means of mass communication. By acquiring control of our major channels of information, they have almost closed off our ability to discover these lies. But thank God, the Internet, one channel of information, still remains open to us. And it's up to you to use it as you are doing right now. And it's up to you to contact your friends and family and share this truth one person at a time. Thankfully, millions are learning the truth every day across America and the world. And that's why the Jewish supremacists such as Foxman and Potok have to mount their campaign of lies and distortions against me. I remain yours for our heritage and freedom. This has been David Duke, and these are a few of my latest thoughts.